Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the nature of our awesome God, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Now the first reference to the Trinity comes in the very first verses, the very first chapter of the Bible, all the way back in Genesis 1. The Old Testament lesson for today, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters. And then when God creates human beings, he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Moses uses the plural form three different times, emphasizing that God is three in one. God is triune, a trinity. In Genesis chapter 1, in our Old Testament lesson today, God creates his greatest work. God creates human beings. And human beings are unique because nowhere else in the Bible does God say that he created any of his other creatures in his own image. Humans are uniquely and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 tells us. Based on Genesis 1 and 2, the creation of the first humans and their life before the fall, I want to share with you three important truths about the creation of human beings. First of all, humans are created in the image of God. Second of all, humans are created for relationships. And third of all, humans are created to do good works. Number one, human beings are created in the image of God. We are created in God's own image, which makes you an amazing miracle of God's creation. You are like no other creature on earth. You are made in God's image. What an honor, what a privilege that is. Not just you, but everyone is made in the image of God, every human being. Everyone you talk to, everyone you work with, everyone here at church with you, everyone who likes you, and everyone who doesn't like you, are made in the image of God, which makes them inherently valuable. As Psalm 139 says, you are uniquely and wonderfully made, and that's true for each and every person. Each human being is inherently valuable, each made in God's image. The Bible makes it clear from the very first chapter that there are two different kinds of people. God made just two kinds of people, male and female. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:28. God created the male and the female. God created Adam and Eve in his very own image. The Bible's very clear. There are only two genders, male and female. And both men and women are created in God's image. But they are different. They are not interchangeable. Those differences are not just cosmetic or cultural. They are biological, down to our very chromosomes. God made two kinds of people, males and females. But according to the Bible, God's word, there's not only two genders, there is only one race. People talk a lot about different races, but ultimately every race we talk about, every cultural and ethnic division we make is a man-made division. It's an artificial division. It wasn't there at the beginning. In the beginning, God didn't make a whole bunch of different races. He made one man and one woman, and each one of us is descended from that same man and woman. So according to the Bible, we're all part of one race, the human race. In fact, we're all part of the same family, because all of us are descended from Adam and Eve. From Acts 17, verse 26 says, from one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. From one man, Adam, God made all the nations. Now, the Greek word for nations there is ethnos, which we get the word ethnic group from, right? Of course, the people of the world are made up of many different ethnic groups and different languages and different cultures and different beliefs. And of course, all of us look different from each other. But just because all of us here today look completely different doesn't mean that we're not part of the same race. If there's 100 people here and we all look different, doesn't mean there's 100 different races here. Just means there's 100 and different people, members of the human race, the one race that there is. We all have the same ancestors. We all come from the same parents, Adam and Eve, and therefore we're all members of the same race, the human race. We are all part of the same human family, all 8 billion of us. Now, racism, I don't think I need to tell you, is a sin. Racism is hating someone because they look different from you. It's a sin, and it is a great evil. If we hate someone who looks different from us, we're only hating ourselves. We're hating a member of our own family, a member of our own race. So it's wrong in every way possible. It's not only evil, it's completely wrong. There is only one race, the human race. And I believe the answer to racism is found in Genesis 1. Remembering that each one of us is a descendant of Adam and Eve. Each one of us is a member of the exact same race, the human race. Now, not only does Genesis 1 and 2 tell us how we are created, it also tells us what we are created for. Number two, human beings are created for relationships. We are created in God's image, but we are created for relationships, a relationship with God and a relationship with other people. First and foremost, we're created to have a relationship with God. Genesis 3 seems to tell us that God made a habit of meeting with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and taking walks with them. I think that's the kind of relationship God still wants to have with everybody. A relationship where he's walking alongside of us and talking with us. Like Jesus had with his 12 disciples, walking and talking with them. And that's how we still talk about discipleship today. We still talk about walking with the Lord, right? What an incredible privilege that God, the creator of the universe, would want to have a friendship with you and with me. But now we get to the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2, 16 and 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So, why did God put that tree in the middle of the garden? Well, Luther called that tree Adam and Eve's church. It was their opportunity to worship the Lord through their obedience to his command. Every day, they lived in obedience to that commandment. Every day, they refused to eat of that tree. They were worshiping the Lord with their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength through their actions. When they decided to disobey God, when they were tempted by Satan and fell into his trap, they destroyed their relationship with God. That disobedience is called sin. And from that point on, the human race all had the same problem, sin. The wages of sin is death in this life and in the life to come. You know, all of us, all human beings, have so much in common. Each of us is created in the image of God. Each of us is a member of the same race, the human race. And each of us has the exact same problem, which is sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Sin is our main problem, everybody's main problem. And it doesn't just affect our relationship with God, it also affects our relationship with other people. When God first created Adam, he said that everything was good, but it was not good for man to be alone. So God created a best friend for Adam, and her name was Eve. They had a perfect friendship, a perfect relationship. None of us knows exactly what that's like because none of us are perfect. But it must have been amazing. No sin, no selfishness, no jealousy, no envy, no anger, no anxiety. Everything is perfection. But sin destroyed all that. Now there are no perfect relationships. There are no perfect people. All of our friends and all of our family members are sinners. Now every relationship is poisoned with selfishness and envy and jealousy and anger and anxiety. And you know what? We can't solve the problem because we are the problem. We all have the exact same problem. That is sin. We are all sinners. And we are all in need of one thing more than anything else in this whole world. And that one thing we need more than anything else is forgiveness. Forgiveness for our sins. We inherited our sin from the first Adam. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we all sin. But God has sent a new Adam into this world to overcome our sin for us. The new Adam is Jesus, and he overcame our sin by dying on the cross and rising again from the tomb. to set us free from the power of sin. Now we have forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness for all of our sins, and it is the free gift of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus sets us free from sin, so now we can have a great relationship with God. Now, by God's grace, by God's work in our lives through the Holy Spirit, we can have great relationships with other people, just as God always intended it. And now we can do that which God created us to do, which is good works. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are God's workmanship, for we are his workmanship, his unique work of art, his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. What are we created for? Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, so that we should walk in them. We are created for that specific purpose, to do good in this world. That's what Adam and Eve were busy doing before the fall, right? Genesis 2 verse 15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." Even before the fall, God gave Adam and Eve a purpose, to care for his garden, to be good stewards, good managers of the good gifts that God had given to them, and use those abilities and those gifts to do even more good. Now, that's still our purpose today, and I will admit it's gotten a lot more complicated since the fall and a lot more difficult, but doing good is still the mission, the purpose we were created for. But now there is more need. Now there is more opportunity to do good than ever before. If things are bad, God wants us to make them better. If things are good, God wants us to make them gooder, more goodly. You get the idea. The great thing is that we can all do this. We can all do good, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing. We don't have to wait to reach a certain age. We don't have to wait till we reach a certain position. We can start doing good right now, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. All you have to ask yourself is a few questions. Who can I help today? Who can I serve today? Who can I bless today? Who can I love today? That's what Jesus went about doing. He went about doing good. And that's what God wants us to do as well. There are an infinite number of ways to do good. God's not limiting you. Whatever your personality is, whatever your strengths are, whatever your talents and gifts are, God wants you to use those to make the world a better place, to serve others, to love people, to make a difference in the world and in the lives of others. There's an infinite number of ways to do that. God just wants us to be busy doing it. He wants you to be full of goodness and doing good wherever you go. Why? Because that's who he is. He is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. God wants you to do good because he is good, and you are made in the image of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.